I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Lagoonade with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, X-Chicken, Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and Lagoonade.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to the new Soundwave. It's a lot like the old Soundwave, but it looks a lot better. This is new Soundwave 87. Welcome, friends. With me this week, XB, Peter AKK Bweebum, Rob, the new Rob, Rob. And in the back, you can't see him, but you'll hear him very creepily every now and then, maybe possibly. We'll hear him in our ears. And we will be much disturbed. It is Brian Kilby, star
of RSC.
That's the
best introduction ever.
He is our super duper producer for the new Soundwave. Like I said, welcome. It's a good show this week. A little bit of PlayStation news, PlayStation 4 news. That's the topic of the week. A little bit of Capcom backtracking incredibly quickly, and Pokemon on the iPhone. Oh yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. So first, guys, let's talk about the PlayStation Network real quickly, because today in the motherland, Japan, PSN is back up. So hooray, golf clap, golf clap, everyone. I think this does it, right? This wraps up this story. Am I safe in saying that now that Japan has deemed the PSN to be somewhat safe, we can put this to bed? Don't you agree? Hopefully.
Yeah. Till next time.
That's right. And meanwhile, we're still looking for the hackers who attacked our favorite delirious homeless man, Sega. more on that in coming months, I hope. Please, God, turn yourself in. You're terrible, terrible geeks for hacking Sega. A little bit more on PSN. And this is actually a good discussion for us. The PSN Pass is real, baby. It's real. What is the PSN Pass? The PSN Pass is essentially PlayStation's way of controlling online play for certain games. So confirming speculation from earlier this week, after a PS3 bundle image showed a logo for the PSN Pass, Sony has, yes, announced that Resistance 3, which is going to be a pretty big game, will ship with something called the PSN Pass, which is essentially a pass that we've seen other publishers use, but not for Sony, not for PlayStation. It's game-specific, and it's included with first-party PS3 games that have online capabilities. So what it means is you got to have the pass to play online, and essentially you got to pay for a brand new game to get the pass, or you're going to have to go back and pay for a pass later to play online. So, I mean, guys, what do you think about this? Is this just essentially like the inevitable, and, you know, we're going to have to like start living in a world that all games come with a pass like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, at least they haven't crippled the ability of the game to save its files be reset.
Well, I mean, as long as you get to play, as long as you get to pay and then also play it, meaning as long as PSN stays up, everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It does kind of suck that you have to pay for, like, from what I understand, it seems like it works like. Does it work like Xbox Live? Is that what it is? Or is it per?
Well, you know what? Could you repeat that real quick? What'd you say?
Is it a per game basis, or does it work much like Xbox Live?
No, it's per game. So it's game specific. So it's essentially, you know, it's a way to force you to either buy the game new or buy the pass every time you buy a used game that requires a pass. So it's not quite like an Xbox Live. It's potentially a whole lot more expensive than Xbox Live.
It sounds kind of like the thing that EA has been doing for the last few years, where they give you something in the game that a one-time use code that only new game buyers can use.
Yeah.
It's like
they do with Madden, right? With their Madden property. Is that what that's what they've been doing lately, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's creeping into... I think EA is probably definitely one of the first people to do it. But now you're starting to see, like, bigger companies or like, the real huge players like Sony start to do it. I'm sure like, when Wii U comes out, we're going to see something similar. Some kind. It may not be a pass, but it's probably going to be some kind of, like, pay-for-play system in place. So, I mean, we're starting to see it. Hey.
Except it's not a scandal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Capcom. Backtracking, buddy. Remember that story we brought you last week, I believe, on Resident Evil Mercenaries for the 3DS and how it had a very unique game save feature where you could only save the game completely during the first playthrough. So once you completed an initial playthrough, you could no longer like access or completely save the game the same way ever again. Certain parts of the game are only available to you on the first playthrough, and after that, they're lost forever. Apparently, Capcom ruffled many feathers, not just ours, and many were displeased when news broke about this. So, what has happened? Well, Capcom has said that this was not anti-consumer, and it wasn't even intentional. It was a technical limitation. And so they promised that, quote, it's fair to say that there was never quite the malicious intent that the conspiracy theorists out there would have you believe. No, no, no. It's fair to say, in light of the controversy it's generated, you won't be seeing this kind of thing happening ever again. Guys, do you buy that Capcom did this because of technical limitations / by accident? Or is this just kind of a lot of hooey?
So it's some kind of technical limitation that 15 years of games with onboard save features have not had to endure, but it's just because there was some technical problem they could not circumvent. That makes perfect sense to me.
Sounds like bullshit. Yeah. Something bullshit to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take the position of, you know, not ascribing to malice what can be ascribed to mere stupidity, it could just be that they were trying to make sure that whatever your online records were for this game, you kept them. But I don't know.
Go ahead, Peter.
I think Capcom knew exactly what they were doing, and they were hoping that the consumers would be like, yeah, that makes sense, which is the dumbest. I don't know who thought it, but they thought that gamers were not as, you know, that they just would just let it go. They would just roll over on it because I don't know why, but it just seems like that's what they were aiming for. They're like, oh, these guys will be fine.
And that's kind of what I was thinking about this last week, which, you know, every new step they take to make it where a game is not really resellable properly, you know, every time they do a new version of that, it's a risk they take, and they have to see whether the consumers are going to accept it, and this time they just pushed too far.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They tried their best to take more and more, and at this point it's just, you know, limiting you to replay the game again is...
It's too far.
They pushed it one notch too far. EA pass, you know, PSN pass, fine. Maybe, okay. But once it's like, you can't play this full game anymore, even though you paid full retail price for it, you know, they're assuming that we're all going to try to benefit from their game.
Is what it sounds.
They're pretty much just like, oh, you are trying to swindle us of money regardless. And it's like, that's just not right.
Yeah, you would think that they would do a little bit more testing on this, or like consumer research, before they would roll this out, because I mean, when you're forced to like come up with a ridiculous reason, like, you know, like Diecast17 in chat points out, if this was a technical limitation, how come this is like the only game on Earth in the history of forever that has this technical limitation?
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're gonna have to come up with a like a obviously untrue story and then backtrack and say it's never gonna happen again, probably didn't do your homework, you know?
This definitely seems like a thing that you would present to a focus group or two.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? They're gonna throw like Rotten Tomatoes at you, and turn the table over and jump out of the windows of a fifth-story building. But that's why you have focus groups, right? Because that's kind of what we're doing here.
Actually, I thought policy was to not have focus groups in rooms with windows anymore to prevent that from happening.
Well, it makes for like a better blooper reel at the end of the... It makes for a better Christmas party blooper reel. We're going to need a new focus group, Timmy, you know. Here's an interesting twist. So this came out this week, much to people's like shock, really, actually. Pokemon is headed to the iOS and the Android. Yes, really. So a Pokemon game is headed to smartphones. And the Pokemon Company, that is the actual name of the company, the Pokemon Company recently announced on its website that Pokemon, say, Tap, that's the name of the game, is coming to the iOS and Android devices in Japan this summer. Besides the logo, which was kind of leaked out onto the internet, there's no game images just yet. But it could be a trading card game. It may have elements of, you know, the beloved Pokemon game. We'll see. But I don't think any of us probably expected this to come at least this soon, right? I mean, Pokemon is kind of like one of the sacred properties of the Game Boy. This is kind of shocking, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's going to be like anything else, where if it's not on the core handheld, it's going to just be some minigame style thing. And, I mean, that's not such a shocking thing to see out on different platforms.
I suppose not, but...
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, thanks. But isn't this the first time since, the CDI that something owned even partially by Nintendo has shown up on somebody else's platform?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's very, very rare. It's been a long time.
Yeah. And after
so,
the CDI...
You know, I don't know. I mean... It may essentially be like a nod to how big smartphone got in gaming or, you know, casual gaming. So, you know, it may be just them testing the waters. We may never see something like this again. Maybe it's something that they can't help, but like give it a shot, see what happens, you know?
Well, and you know, Japan too, they're attached at the hip to their phones. I mean, even more than the rest of us are. Their phones do everything for them. So it only makes sense that Pokemon would eventually make its way onto a phone platform.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because kids may not own the iPhone or iTouch or anything like that, but the parents do. And if they're like driving around in the car and the kid won't shut up, it's like, here, play your damn Pokemon games. I have seen it in I have seen the way iPod touches have calmed ridiculous children before. So I think it's a great idea that Nintendo would embark on something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Smart.
Yes. Agreed. It is smart. It is smart, probably inevitable. Call of Duty Black Ops is now officially the best-selling game ever in the UK. Over 3.7 million copies, almost 3.8 million copies in the United Kingdom as of June 25th. So that number is probably even bigger by now in the middle of July. The previous record holder, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, of course, which sold 3.7 million copies. So this game looks like it's going to outpace the previous COD title by at least 100,000 or so copies. Not bad. UK loves them, some first-person shooters. If you're one of the lucky ones to be on Google Plus, which apparently has become a social meme, a social sensation. Are any of you guys on Google Plus, by the way?
I have a Google Plus account, but I have not done a thing with it.
Nice. Peter?
I do. I have one.
I do.
Yeah. Have you done anything with Google Plus?
I've been screwing around with it. Yeah, I would say I've been checking it out to see what kind of stuff is on there.
Does it look interesting, or are there not enough people on it? Is it like clearly a beta thing, or what?
Yeah, since it's like, you know, like most social networking, it gets better with more people. So, I see a lot of potential in it. I think the way that you can easily add people to different circles is definitely a plus, because there are a lot of things, like, one of the main things for Facebook, I know John and XV, you guys aren't on Facebook, but one of the most frustrating things is within Facebook to limit, you know, what people can see. So I think that when you share something, you can say, oh, I want these following guys to see it, like, and click, click, click. Okay, done. But if you wanted to share it with your friends and your family, then that's fine. You can, you know, nix your coworkers off of it or something like that. I think that there's a huge potential for it to make it easier to share for people. So, I mean, we can all say that Facebook is pretty much, you know, they can do whatever they want at this point because they're a dominant. But I think if more and more people go on Google Plus, I think it'll be a very good alternative.
And speaking of Google Plus, actually, this is kind of interesting. The code in Google Plus suggests that a gaming could be in its future. So it'll be interesting to see how they implement games. Last story before the commercial break. That's right, the commercial break. Sony has given two very deserving executives promotions. Sony's Kaz Hirai and Andrew House have gotten a bump to a new tax bracket, I can only hope. Two of Sony's most viable executives, Kaz and Andrew, have continued to climb up the company with promotions that were announced today, the 6th of July. Because why? Sony has had such a stellar first half of 2011. I can't imagine it being any better. Hirai, who has been serving as president and group CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment, will now be chairman. And Andrew House, who was previously CEO and COO, co-COO of Sony Computer Entertainment Europe, will take over Kaz's job as president and group CEO. Congratulations, guys. Hope you get fucked in the ass. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. So we can't like really comment. I mean, I'm sure these guys do a good job in other places beyond like, you know, consumer satisfaction and quality of service and software development and small things like that. But I don't know. I mean, Sony is just not good at timing things. These kind of things out. Are they? I mean, we really don't need to like have like a big kind of to-do about executive promotions now, do we really? I don't know.
It's a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be worse. It could be the week after the PSN meltdown and not the month after.
That's true.
I guess. But I don't know if this would... I mean, you know, there are holes to fill. I can understand that. But really, like, thank you, Kaz Hirai, for doing an excellent job on handling the hacking issue. promotion. And the guy underneath. Yes. You did well, too, by not doing anything either. So here you go. Here's some more money at you.
Right. That's right. Woo! Here's a bag of dicks. Right. A bag of dicks, a knife, and a fork.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. So... when we come back from commercial break, we are going to talk about Duke Nukem, the Wii U, and then we're going to wrap up the show talking about the PlayStation 4. That's right. The PlayStation 4 is in the news, and new Soundwave will be right back.
What's the hottest 16-bit video game system with true arcade games, great graphics, real challenge, stereo sound, and the hottest library, too, with games like Altered Beast, Golden Axe, Super Hang-On, Forgotten Worlds, Space Harrier 2, Revenge of Shinobi, Tommy Lasorda Baseball, Fruxton, Last Battle, Arno Palmer Tournament Golf, Super Thunder Blade, Sue, Thunder Force 2, Ghouls and Ghosts, Mystic Defender, Rambo 3, and more? Genesis from Sega. Genesis, the new generation in video games.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android device, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the App Store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
I repeat, stay in your homes. sonic 3D blast has hit the mainland. The blue storm is moving unpredictably, spinning, smashing, gaining power as he tears along. If you should see an eerie gyration of light, move away. You may be witnessing the blast attack.
Play Sonic 3D Blast on Sega Channel, the only cable channel with unlimited play of over 70 games a month. Call your cable company to get hooked in.
Jeff's house, new Genesis game, Kid Chameleon, 100 levels, 1800 screens, longest I've ever played.
That's good, son.
Every time I changed helmets, I was someone else.
That's nice, dear.
Skycutter, Cyclops, Juggernaut, I kept transforming.
Everybody's saying.
Can't. Later, Mom.
What's with him?
He's just having an identity crisis.
New Kid Chameleon, the multiple personality game, only on Sega Genesis.
Where do we start?
How about his knee?
That's his face. If that's his face, what's this?
Oh,
New Salvador.
Okay, guys. I'm back. Let's talk Duke Nukem. Duke Nukem sales. Not good, buddy. Not good. Poor one for human decency and taste. It looks like Duke didn't get as much as he expected at the sales counters. So an analyst group has trimmed the Take-Two revenue estimates in response to lowered sales expectations for Mr. Nukem. According to Gamasutra, this analyst group, the Wedbush Morgan analyst group, they believe that Duke Nukem Forever's sell-through may be as low as half of the initial expectations. Now, initially, I know, right? Now, initially, they expected to sell 3 million units. Now they're looking at, about 1.5 in response.
That seems optimistic.
That seems optimistic. I'm going to be honest with you, because if you haven't bought Duke Nukem now, you know never to buy this game ever, ever.
You've learned your lesson.
Yeah, you have definitely learned your lesson. They've also trimmed $25 million off the quarter one estimates for 2K games. The drop wasn't as steep as it could have been, according to this report, thanks to stronger than expected numbers for L.A. Noire, which is also a Take-Two game. But again, Duke Nukem, suck 'em. Nobody is buying Duke Nukem. Hey, guys, do you think past, like, the quality of the game? Like, we know the game sucked, right? Okay, almost universally is panned. But do you think Duke Nukem is something that was a little bit too niche-y and a little bit not... It wasn't like as mass appealing as they probably expected. I mean, do you think that factored in?
Yes. I think they were counting on the clamor for a 14-year-old game to spread beyond the five people who actually wanted it to come out.
Yeah.
For the rest of us, it was just an in-joke that lasted way too long.
I think it's one of those things.
Go ahead, dear.
When I'm sorry, there's like a survey, right, that came out when iPhone went to Verizon. They were like, oh, there's so many people that are going to want this. Nobody got it. Because what somebody says during a poll or what kind of hype that goes around when people say, I'm going to buy this on the forums, doesn't actually translate when you have to take out the money.
Right.
Right.
And especially a couple weeks later when you actually know what you're getting.
Yes, good points. Good points all around. Hey, a little bit of a kind of confusing and misleading tidbit on the Wii U, and then we'll talk about the PlayStation 4. So the Wii U supports 3D TVs. That's good. That's good to know, but it doesn't mean that the Wii U will necessarily have 3D
gaming, it'll just support 3D TVs. So kind of an interesting bit of mixed news coming out of Nintendo on that front. I guess, guys, this just means essentially that they're making sure everybody knows that the Wii U is going to work with any kind of flat screen TV you may have. You know, I suppose. I mean, that's the only thing that I can
imagine. I think also they're laying the groundwork, so if the 3D TVs do spread adequately, they will be able to utilize that for gaming.
Hmm. Yes. Good point.
You know, they're future proofing it basically.
Yeah. But they said that. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
Oh, my fault. But yeah, Nintendo has a history of doing that. I read somewhere recently that there's actually somewhere in the depths of the GameCube a 3D processor that was never put to use because the technology just didn't get there in time.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys, it's coming. It's coming. The PlayStation 4. Oh. Our prayers have been answered. And to seal the deal, because I know you're going to be in line. I know you're lining up tomorrow for the PlayStation 4. It is going to have Kinect-style motion controls. And it's going to be out next year. So before we dig into this, a little bit of background. Unlikely as it may seem. A new report this week pegs next year, 2012. As the release year for Sony's next home console, the PlayStation 4, the Digitimes report that came out today says a Taiwanese component maker has indicated PlayStation 4 production will begin towards the end of this year, with the goal of having the system ready to ship sometime next year. Not only that, but the system will feature, quote, movement-based control, which is compared to the 360's Kinect. When it goes on sale next year, two PlayStation 3 manufacturers are said to be assuming their roles once again for the PS4. So now we have several factories saying they're getting ready to make components. Upwards of 20 million PS4 units are planned to be shipped in 2012. Given how we've heard about Sony claiming that the PS3 has a 10-year life cycle and that they could extend that even further. It may be a little early to start talking PlayStation 4, but it looks like several factories, you know, can't be wrong. Maybe, you know, they're certainly going to be working on something. So, guys, this brings up the conversation, the topic for the show. What does the PlayStation 4 need to have to, quote unquote, win this time around? Is it Kinect controls? Is it something else?
I think it's game software.
Unheard of. Outrageous.
I think I would just like to point out that if this is true, then it speaks to the utter and miserable failure of PlayStation 3.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Which is already given. But, you know, I just wanted to press home that fact.
Well, yes. I mean, that part kind of... The PlayStation Move was always the worst thought-out concept, really. Well, since it was to be a Wii controller, but it had to use backward technology.
The idea, and just said, it's going to be better. But how? nobody knows.
Well, that's Sony.
Rob, any thoughts? Hey, Rob, what systems do you own as far as, like, this current generation?
Actually, this current generation, we have all three as of just the beginning of this year. Just got a PS3. Okay. I'm enjoying it well enough. You know, it was nice to... The free multiplayer was nice when I tried out Transformers War for Cybertron. Honestly, I think the most important thing Sony is going to need for the next generation is not to cost a couple hundred dollars more than the nearest competitor.
Yeah.
Cause
that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's the reason that of the three, the PS3 was the one we got last.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the report for next year is credible, but I think it's, you know, a remote possibility because getting to the market first did help the Xbox 360 a bit. So
yes, it did. And to your point, the fair price did too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't help that. It didn't hurt that it became... I mean, you know, Xbox was an okay machine, but the Xbox 360 is a very... It's a very competent machine, and they've done very well in boosting their Xbox Live component and making it very desirable.
Yeah. Xbox 360 is the standard of this generation, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Totally agree. Totally agree.
I think getting out first, and even if it has a reasonable price, I question whether another PlayStation machine could really capture that position again.
That's a good point. So, I mean, history would say that you certainly have a shot, right, at changing positions. So if you lost the generation before, you have a shot. It's been done before, of moving to the top. But do you think that the PlayStation 3, given, like, the current way things are, the 360 is dominant, the Wii certainly had its day, and the PS3 has always, like, lagged pretty distantly behind. Does the PlayStation 4 just have too much ground to make up to have a shot at, like, the top spot this next generation? Or do you think if they play their cards right, they can do it?
What I'm really curious about with this, though, is what kind of advance they would have in mind for the hardware to justify being a PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the games look with the high-definition TVs, I'm not sure just how much more you could really squeeze out of what you could fit into a consumer-level machine.
I'd like to say that I would be, if I was an early adopter of PS3 and I paid that boatload of cash, did they come out? I don't know if when they came out, if they promised that it would be kind of like, you know, a longevity machine, right? I'm assuming that they kind of, with that price,
they kind of did and certainly lately they've been saying like, oh, it's a 10-year life cycle.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're in year five, right? Four, five?
It's like five or six, yeah.
Yeah, it's about half. I'd be pretty pissed. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like if people really want a Sony product, then yeah. But I think history shows that, you know, Sony gets complacent in what they're doing. So,
well, how many years did the PlayStation 2 hang on after the current generation kicked in?
Forever. Go ahead, Rob.
That's true. That is true. The PS2's life cycle technically did kind of hang on into the PS3, may be counting on that for the 10-year
That had a lot to do with the $600 price tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, yeah, but I mean, they might be planning to repeat that model where PS3 titles and stuff will still trickle out even into the PS4's development and initial life cycle and fulfill that 10-year promise, at least intend to.
In a shitty roundabout way, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is Sony.
Well, I think to be, some in a way, just to talk about the PS2 for a second longer, is that I think, to be honest, the existence of the Wii helped it last longer than it did, because things were going cross-platform from PS2 to Wii and PS3 to 360, and they may be counting basically on the 360 to drag the PS3 along for a little while longer while they get up to speed with the PS4.
And I could actually see that, too. That's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, and then you consider, so if the PS3 lasts another 3 or 4 years after the PS4 is out, then they can claim their 10-year life cycle. So, yeah.
Or at least close enough to it to say, shut up.
Like I said again, it's a shitty way of going about it, but
oh yeah,
I understand. I understand what you guys are saying. I'll buy that. Yeah.
It's a Sony way going about it. It's a Sony way.
They didn't say that the PS3 would be around to use for 10 years. They didn't say they wouldn't have a new system out in the middle of it.
Yeah. So suck it. Right. Promotions for all. Let's all get promotions.
I wonder if Sony will develop a next generation to Blu-ray. That's something that...
I hope not. I have to think Blu-ray is the last major disc format before we go essentially to digital as like the primary.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I would wonder if... I mean, the PlayStation 4 would probably support Blu-ray just to keep up with current standards, but if they were going to add a new video system to it, I would think it would be something based on digital distribution rather than physical media.
As long as they keep the physical media slot, then, you know, everything will be fine.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. I would imagine it would still support Blu-ray just because that's the current standard of technology and they want it to be at least comparable to the previous machine.
Plus, it's their technology, so they really want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to the bitter end, man. Yeah, to the bitter end.
So
it's like it's like Nintendo and carts. You know, I mean, it's not a direct relationship, but Nintendo loves itself some cartridges. And
I still like cartridges, too.
So, I mean, Nintendo likes itself some cartridges, right? I mean, 3DS runs cartridges. Yeah. So, yeah, they still love themselves cartridges.
Yeah, I mean, the cartridges are more like little SD cards, but those are almost like cartridges, too, if you think about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think on this model, though, the thing you'd have to worry about as far as having the physical media slot would be, you know, like the PS3 Go.
Yeah. There you go. That's a lesson for us all, right? That's a lesson for us all. I saw a couple of PSP Go's like at the used record store for sale. down the street. Yeah, that sounded about right. Right. It does. It needs to go like it totally needs to go on that shelf next to like laser discs and
eight tracks.
That's right.
Right up there with Betamax in the Hall of Sony Failures.
and mini discs, right?
Absolutely, yeah. All that needs to be like under a giant sign that just says "We tried."
And remember, Stitcher caught on, didn't it?
Well, they can't all be winners, XV.
Can't. Has there been one winner since the PS2?
Don't worry about that. They're due for a hit.
Memory Stick Duo.
Right. Hey, we're going to do proprietary memory sticks. That's going to work.
I love how almost every discussion topic we have turns into what's wrong with Sony.
I mean, that's the only way it can go.
We're probably going to roll out the greatest system ever, and we're all going to have to eat our words.
Cool. If I can afford it, and it really is the greatest system ever, that's great.
That's true.
I don't see it happening.
Wouldn't it be great?
It's a win-win. If they keep on sucking, we have plenty of material to talk about. And if they don't, we have, like, an awesome system, right?
Yeah.
So, wouldn't it be great if Sony somehow said, okay, we know we made some mistakes and this and that and blah, 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 but now we have partnered with Microsoft. You can play Xbox games on PlayStation.
Our heads would explode.
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't know what to think. I mean, like, if a PS 360 came out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Man.
I wonder if...
It's living together.
I wonder if the next PS4 will just be, like, an iterative design that maybe it'll be slimmer.
Oh, God.
If it does,
they're going to have riots in the street.
I'm kind of wondering seriously, too, if they're not just trying to like minorly upgrade the PS3 and rebrand it so that it escapes the sort of stigma that the PS3 gained through that whole huge price thing and, you know, no games.
The Sony Fun Station.
Yeah.
You make it sound like it was only like two minor problems, XV.
But there is two particular problems that we seem to latch on to.
Yes. Yes, very cute, very cute. Hey, on that note, I think that'll do it for the show this week. Like I said, this was the maiden voyage of the new Soundwave with lots of bells and whistles and stuff, and so there will certainly be a little twisting and tweaking and refining as we go, but essentially, this is the show that we're going to present to you every week, and we're quite proud of it. Until next time, this is John for the staff, XV, Peter, Rob, our excellent producer, Brian, in the back. That was New Soundwave 87. We will see you next week.
2-1-0. Game over.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
He touched my breath!
This has been New Soundwave.
Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a radio-free Cybertron production.